Wow, they are so unselfish.
Just like clockwork as Ingles puts up the three on the buzzer and makes it Joe Ingles.
NBA Straya. How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Straya. It is Wednesday, September 4. Happy birthday to old mate. Nice one. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer for Rolling Stone, Triple J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and whoever else wants to pay me that sweet, sweet folding stuff that's walking around money. And I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA offseason today, and a bit of FIBA World Cup action while we break down and wrap up every little bit of NBA action you need to know about while repping Australia just a little bit, mate. It's what we do. All right, so the FIBA World Cup is in full swing. There have been some near misses. Some teams have already been knocked out. Australia has sealed their pathway through to the next round. But here to help break that down today, we have a very special guest. In fact, he's a recurring guest. It's none other than the national man of mystery himself. Not international, because he's from Australia, and we are here too. It's Lee Ellis. That's right, man. Lee Ellis from the Free Agents, formerly the Starters, is on the show. Lee joins me to talk about the World Cup, Team USA, the Boomers, a bunch of NBA offseason stuff. It's really good. So I hope you get around that. And we also have a bit of a breakdown of Australia-Senegal done by Muggins over here to start off the show. And we're going to finish off with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. So that'll be good. Legendary. All right. Let's bloody well get to it. It's NBA Australia episode 325. Let's go.
This is Matthew Delvedover and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wow! You better. Or you better watch out for the, I don't know, the turkey attack. Jesus, if you're Team USA. That's right. Anyway, we're going to start today's show the way we start every show here at NBA Australia with a daily flip around. Well, you know, the every second day at the moment. Yeah, we might just keep doing shows after every Aussie game. What do you reckon? Yeah, sounds good. So what happened? Team USA nearly lost to Turkey overnight, squeaking by in OT. Only thanks to a pretty wild foul drawn by Jason Tatum. Did you know he's still only 19? As time expired in regulation, hit two free throws to tie it back up. We go to OT. Turkey missed four free throws in the last 10 seconds. Chris Middleton makes his, and Team USA, wow. Just sneaked that one out. Greece with Giannis Antetokounmpo lost to Brazil with old-ass Anderson Varejão and Leandro Barbosa. It's pretty crazy. Absolute scenes. And Germany. It is German. Hello. Yep. German Rondo. German Rondo. Tennis. Shut up. And co. are out. They won't be getting through to the next round because they lost to the Dominican Republic, who I'm pretty sure their entire team's probably exclusively made up of dudes named Manny. That is awesome. Good shit. Some other crazy stuff. I mean, Lithuania beat Canada pretty handily. Getting everybody in Australia very, very frightened of the Australia-Lithuania game coming up. New Zealand had a good win against Montenegro. That was pretty fun. On your Kiwi, Bruce. Oh, sweet as he. Stephenham's got something to say about that later, Bruce. España, Spain, they beat... who was it? Fuck, that was Puerto Rico. That's right. And Russia beat Korea. I don't know. There was a bunch of, you know, pretty checks out kind of games last night. Going to be interesting to see how we go today. We have, I don't know, some good ones. China, Venezuela? Sure. Why not? Angola versus Philippines? Oh, man. I would love to see the Philippines get their shit kicked out of them by Angola. Anyway. Nice one. Anyway. So the World Cup is in full swing. It's pretty fun. It's pretty great. There's a lot of stuff going on. In the NBA itself, I think I mentioned this all on Monday. I mean, there's just still not much going on. You know? Jason Tatum sprained his ankle, and that was like a big NBA story. So, sure. And the Nets, small forward Rodions Kurucs was arrested after a an alleged domestic assault that was filed a couple of months after it happened and after they broke up, which is always interesting. Yeah, cool. Anyway, let's get to the game wrap, shall we? That's right, Boomers game 2 against Senegal. And the Boomers win it. 81-68 out there in Dongguan. Yeah, Dongguan in China. That was pretty great. Look, we're going to wrap this one up pretty quickly before we get to Lee. Another weird game for the Aussies. I mean, led at the half, really only because they sort of vaguely half woke up in the second quarter. Had 9 turnovers. They shot 25 times to 38 against the Senegalese. Senegal getting lots of offensive rebounds. Again, the key was just limiting the turnovers in the second half. Joe Ingles slowed it all down, made us look much more deliberate in the way we went. What else? I had all my notes pop up on the old social medias there. So go read them after every game. I'm going to keep doing that. It's pretty fun. But yeah, man, the Boomers just came out really slow. I mean, this was a Senegal team that got the absolute shit kicked out of them by Lithuania the day before. Well, 2 days before. And look, I'll tell you what, the Boomers may have been out on the Terps out there in Dongguan. What do you reckon? And it might have literally been Terps, because holy shit, they started off slow. Still, look, the Boomers got through this. 16 turnovers for the game. The rebounding was pretty brutal. Senegal had 13 offensive rebounds. So turnovers and rebounds still the Boomers' big weaknesses, and that worries the shit out of me against Lithuania, I'll tell you that much. Look, 53 shot attempts to 71. That is brutal. Luckily, Senegal couldn't hit the side of a fucking barn there. Shooting 5 of 21 from 3 versus our 9 of 23. But we set a record for, well, at least for the Boomers, 28 assists on 29 made field goals. Absolutely unreal. And I think, as I pointed out in my notes, we still don't really get too many easy buckets, and that's why we're not shit pumping these teams who probably aren't as good as us. When I say probably, I mean Senegal definitely aren't as good as us, and neither are Canada. And both games were pretty scary. What else? The jingling one. Jingling. Joseph Howarth Ingles. What a fucking game from Jingles. Easily our best on ground. It was one assist off a bloody triple-double, which was amazing. 17-10-9, dropping threes just when we needed him. He was awesome. All game. All game. He went 4 of 6 from downtown. He was great. Paddy Mills, Paddy S. Thrills, he was pretty bloody good too. Knocked in 22, 3 of 8 from downtown for him. Aaron Bangers Baines, look, he missed a couple of gimmies in the paint, but the Ingles to Bangers alley-oop. Fucking hell. Need a cold shower every time that fucking happens. Jesus. His second half was really good. Laying dudes out. Brick shitter screens, the usual. What else happened? I don't know. King Daly was a bit rough after a really good game one. Jock Landau was also pretty rough. Bogut, Kay Goulding also did their job, and they were pretty good. And the Creek Freak, love his energy. He's awesome. So, look, I mean, the Boomers reckon they thought they could probably sleepwalk through this and still shit pump Senegal, but they couldn't. And I think I said on Monday's show that this team is talented enough to beat anybody and come back from a lot of deficits against teams worse than them, but they're not talented enough just to cruise to wins, you know? So, it's going to be pretty weird. But look, another good win, another tough win, another test of their mettle. Still, I love the assists. It's good that they're moving the ball a lot, but at the same time, those easy buckets really kill me in not getting them. So, all right, let's do a bit of, let's give out some awards, shall we? That's right, let's go to the NBA Australia Approved Performance of the Night.
That's a knife.
Uh-oh, Senegal. You just got jingled, you freaking morons. That's right, jingling Joe Ingles. I mean, he almost became the first bloke ever to have a triple-double in the World Cup. One assist away. The Creek Freak tried desperately to heave in a three off a little touch pass to Jingles at the buzzer. It didn't quite go. 17-10-9. Absolute scenes from the jingling one out there in Dongguan. Great stuff. He was literally amazing. The way he played was really important, I think, as well. Senegal, I think I don't know if I banged on it enough in the intro bit about this, but Senegal were in this game for like all of it, basically, until probably the last half of the fourth quarter, where we were pretty much up 10 for long stretches, and then we sort of just, you know, always kept our nose in front. But, it would pop down to 4 or 5 here and there, and thanks to Jingles, Patty, and Deli really just sort of grabbing the game by the scruff of the neck, going, look, settle the fuck down, would you? And it really helped. There was a sense of calm and poise to a lot of what Jingles was doing. The alley-oops to Bangers and to Bogut were great. Nick Kay sort of helps in that as well, but yeah, I don't know, a little bit of the desperation that you sort of see early on when Jock Landale and Bangers are out there and the defense sort of just goes, what are we doing? Fuck. Doesn't quite translate on the offensive end when Jingles is in charge because he's just sort of running the show competently and really, really professionally. And even when shit breaks down, he's just like, I could probably do something here. And he does. It's pretty good. Honorable mention goes to Paddy S. Thrills Mills. He was also really, really good in this game. Hit shots when it mattered. Ends up with 22 points on 8 of 16 shooting. Really pretty much like the same as that chick my mate from high school, Scotty. Worked with the old Safeway deli down there in, the Bridge Mall in Ballarat. Yeah, she was always on hand when you needed something to go down, you know what I'm saying? Oh, jeez. She wasn't much of a looker, though. But anyway, nor was this game. I'll tell you that much. Jesus cripes, it was rough to watch. But still, there you go. Paddy Estrills is really good. And, Bangers was handy. Good stuff. Just a good team win. We shot 55% from the field. You'll take that. What about old mate, no mates, though?
Old mate, no mates.
Who's got no mates today? Jesus, what more does the Creek Freak Mitch Creek need to do to get more minutes? Jesus. 9 minutes in this game after 7 in game one. All he does is win. All he does is come out and kick ass, take names, and provide energy and a spack. And he was really good. Lamanis. Pretty fucking clearly hates him, though, which sucks. But old mate, no mates. Speaking of which, I'm going to just go with Andre Lemanis. He's more backed up than a Bundaberg brick shitter after a big night of the Bundy Tins offense. Is pretty hard to watch. When they move the ball and they score, it's really, really fun and really, really good. But everything is really fucking hard. I mentioned no easy buckets and when just not getting them. There's not much spacing. It's pretty, you watch a team like Italy, you watch a team like Spain, they just go, oh, no, that's all right, we'll just drop in a couple of threes and we'll be fine. We have to work a lot fucking harder, and that's Lemanis, I'll tell you that. And then he's dropping shit like the three-guard lineup in yesterday's game when Senegal were big and dominating the fucking paint. I mean, what the shit was that? Anyway, this is just going to continue being the old mate, no mates. Andrew Bogut in China, and getting booed by all the Chinese fans in the crowd gets me fucking laughing every time. So I go, what the fuck, you dickheads are? And I use it as all right, eh? Oh, just because I called that swimmer a jug cheat, eh? That's fucking hilarious. On your bogey, on your Chinese basketball fans. I love this relationship. It's amazing. Definitely old mate, no mates. What about Spud of the Night?
Spud.
Rock'em, sock'em, block'em, jock'em. Landale was not great last night. 14 minutes, 0 points, missed both of his shots. He had 3 rebounds and 4 turnovers. I don't know if he'd been getting stuck into the old KFC before the game or something yesterday, but Jesus, butterfingers. Killing me, Jock. But look, he's still young. Inconsistency, you get that. King Deli, his shot turned back into Deli's shot. 1 of 5 overall, 0 of 3 from downtown. Again, dropping them short, which he was doing in the exhibition games. Rough to watch. But Spuds of the Night, how about Turkey? Missing your 4 free throws in that last 10 seconds. You could have beaten Team USA, your Spuds. And Giannis Antetokounmpo had 13 points in a loss to fucking Brazil. Well, Anderson bloody Varejao is going off like he's prime Luke Longley. Yeah, Giannis. And then getting Giannis getting punked by, that'll be Panting of the Night. So let's go to Panting of the Night. Giannis and his Greek team, unbelievable panting. We've got Drazen Petrovic's brother out there coaching and coaching the Brazilian team and just out there shit-talking Giannis. It was pretty, pretty amazing. I mean, anytime you could have, like, anyone shit-talking the reigning NBA MVP and it's, like, the brother of Drazen Petrovic, you got to do it. It is absolutely amazing. So great stuff there. Really, really enjoyed that. What else? Look, Team USA, that's a bit of a panting as well. Almost losing to Turkey is just embarrassing. What are y'all doing? But still, Greece using Giannis on offense like he's Tony Allen is very weird. You know? Crazy. All right. What about better than Lonzo Ball?
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you're going to get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros. Now I can be average. He's coming for everybody.
Coming for everybody. That's right. Who was better than Lonzo Ball last night? I'm going to say Zane Delmeida from Senegal. He was awesome. He's my age. He only had 14 points, but that'd be Lonzo's fifth highest scoring game ever. And he shot 50% from the field, which is something Lonzo's ever done twice in his career. All stats, as usual, made up. Anyway, Delmeida was awesome. He wasn't scared, played his ass off, dug that. Played a really, really good game. Basically went hammering. He played 38 fucking minutes out of 40. That is crazy. 2 of 4 from downtown, 6 of 12 from the floor. 4 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 0 turnovers. He was a minus 10, but I mean, that's because he played the entire fucking game and Australia won by 13. So I don't know what else you meant to do. But that was great. Anya Zane, really, really enjoyed that. Good stuff. What about Dickhead of the Week, though?
Dickhead of the Week!
Or of the game. I think it was, Touré? Yeah, Babacar Touré, I think, laid the fucking wood on Patty Mills in the last 3 minutes of the game. But, I mean, that unsportsmanlike foul really helped us sort of seal that win. So I'll take that. Patty just bounced right back up after her big fucking hit too. So it's pretty good. All right. There you go. Let's go to a break. That was some nice wrap-up of the Boomers Senegal. I don't know. How are you feeling? These haven't been really convincing wins, but they've been wins. And you'll take that, right? Cool. All right, man. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a second with none other than the ledge himself, Bloody Lee Ellis. All right.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. I promised him at the top of the show, he is a recurring guest, which is amazing. He's the international man of mystery. But here, we just call him a national man of mystery, I guess, because he's a dead set legend. He was once a starter. Now he's a free agent. It's Bloody Lee Ellis. Lee, how you going?
Good, thanks, James. How are you, man?
You know, this World Cup, it's not that bad when, you know, it doesn't go too late. But when you've got to wake up because you've got to look after the squid because it's your wife's birthday, old mate, she's sitting there going, go get him. I'm like, oh, shit. It's your birthday, you know, it sort of takes a bit of a toll on your sleep time, Lee. So here we are.
Well, it's no fun over here either. The game, Australia's first game against Canada, tipped off at 3:30 in the morning.
Yikes.
Yeah, so I skipped over that one thinking that the Aussies were you know, should have won that game, and they did. And Delhi, it was good to see Delhi get hot because he wasn't shooting the ball all that well in those two games against the US in Australia. You know, he's got that new style. It's a little bit smoother than his old way of shooting the ball. And it's good to see that he had, you know, it was pretty effective for him and for Australia to get that win, that early win, because we know that when Canada played Australia out in Perth just before the tournament, they got pounded in that first game before Australia got the win in the second game. So good to see Australia seem to shake off that rust from their early sort of preparations for the tournament.
Yeah, it was a Delhi shooting. Like, it does look smoother, but to be honest, a piece of sandpaper would be smoother than his old shooting motion. So, so you were back in Oz for the exhibition matches. You did some stuff for the NBA. You got to hang out with Allen Houston and Tim Hardaway, the good one. What else did you get up to while you were back, Lee?
Well, it was mainly a trip back to visit family and friends because I hadn't been back for 8 years. So I'd managed to coincide it with those games, of course. But, you know, it was good for my boys to meet some of their cousins they'd never met before, and their granddads out there, and my brothers there, so their uncle and aunts and all that. And we just had a great time. We visited so many people and had such a good time because, you know, winter in Melbourne is, you know, people who've been living in Melbourne for a while are sort of complaining about the weather. But for me, it was actually beautiful because where I live in Atlanta, it's every day is just ridiculously hot and humid. So to get to Melbourne, where you have classic Melbourne weather, where one day you're in shorts, the next day you're in sort of gloves and a beanie, and sometimes you're in both on the same day. And that's just, you know, that's one of those beautiful things about Melbourne, the old four seasons in one day. And we got tons of that while we were back there. Went down to Tasmania, visited some friends and family down there. And just, you know, it was good because obviously the Starters ended at the end of last season at the finals. And obviously we're sad about that. We're disappointed. We would like to have continued, but not to be the case. But in some ways, it's good to have that forced break on you because then you get away from the game and you get away from the league a little bit and you reconnect with your family and your friends and you talk about other things. And that was the funniest thing. We didn't go to Vegas Summer League this year. And, you know, look, but that was always a fun event. But when you, you know, when it sort of is not there anymore, it gives you a chance to do some other things. So I've certainly enjoyed these last couple of months just again, visiting. I went to Europe as well with the family for a bit of a trip. And then got back to see my folks in Australia. So I was really it's been a refreshing change, and you know, it's good to sort of come back here to Atlanta and have the World Cup on because you sort of feel refreshed and ready to sort of talk about basketball and focus on basketball again.
Yeah, it sounds like it's a bit of a decompression session, right? It's the opposite of what we used to do in year 11 at Ballarat High. So, but that's pretty cool because like you get to decompress, hang out and go, all right, man, now I've got the World Cup. We've got a nice little taste of the NBA season. This is going to be great. Even if we are missing, you know, the top level NBA talent that you'd kind of expect in a big national thing. But, I mean, how you feel about the World Cup so far? I mean, USA just snuck by Turkey, late Australia time. And, literally came as close to losing as you literally can, getting bailed out by a foul called no time left, down two, and then Turkey missed four free throws in the last 10 seconds of overtime before Middleton knocks in his two. I mean, yeesh. What do you reckon, Lee? A, can Australia medal, and B, is this the weakest USA team we've seen since they crapped the bed in 04 and 06?
Yeah, I mean, can Australia medal? Like, they can, but, I mean, you look at some of those teams that are there. I think Australia plays Lithuania next, I believe, or certainly it's on the calendar there for them. That's going to be a tough test for them. Greece losing to Brazil. I mean, just the fact they've got Giannis, I think, makes Greece a real challenger for the gold medal there. And then you've got some of those other teams as well, like Serbia. To me, they look fantastic so far. The way that they're moving the ball around, you know, you can just tell these guys, they play with so much pride and passion. And a lot of them have probably been playing with each other at some sort of national level since they were, you know, teenagers. So they've got that chemistry and they've got that history there. And then, you saw the USA and Turkey today. I mean, Turkey's another one of those teams. I think Ilyasova finished with a double-double, 23 and 11, something along those lines. A guy who's, you know, a bit part player in the NBA, but when he puts on his national jersey, he's a very good player. And again, all these guys, they know each other so well. And that's the one enormous advantage pretty much every team has over the US, that this US team, none of these guys have played necessarily with each other at this level together. I know there's a few teammates in there from the Celtics and the Bucks, but it's completely different for the USA as it is for some of these other countries. And so, you know, I don't think America is going to win the gold. I'm not sure exactly who is going to win it, but I think it probably, if I was to put my money on someone right now, I would probably go with Serbia, I would guess, just because of the way that they've been playing. And but I think it's an open tournament. And I know there was some talk that Australia, you know, that were one of the teams that could go on and win the gold medal. I'm not sure if we can win that, but certainly we've seen, like in Rio, I guess it was 3 years ago now, where we should have been, well, not should is not the right word. We could have been competing in the gold medal game, and then we should have perhaps at least taken away the bronze. So I think world basketball is very, very healthy right now, and I think it's great. And the fact that the US and Canada as well, let's not forget Canada, you know, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Jamal Murray, the two big names who pulled out of their team, that's bad because Canada really could have been a team that could have competed for the gold medal, I think, if they were at full strength. But you know, them along with the USA. You know, once LeBron pulled out, everyone started pulling out. And I think that this is what tends to happen with the US, is they almost get a little bit too complacent after 2006, where they lost. That was the last time they lost. And then everyone sort of thinks, ah, well, it doesn't matter. We're going to win the gold no matter who we send. And, you know, it's probably not going to happen this time. But then next year for Tokyo, the Olympics, I wouldn't be surprised if you get LeBron, Kevin Durant, maybe Steph Curry. You know, everyone sort of comes back to try to sort of reassert their dominance. But whether they do or not, I just think it's a very, very healthy tournament. There's a lot of really good teams there. I don't think we necessarily – it's 32 teams. I don't think we need that many. But overall, I just think if you look at the quality of the players and the quality of the teams out there, it's a really, really good tournament. And this is good. I think there's still a few things they need to work on, FIBA, as far as the scheduling, because I don't think the scheduling is great a year before the Olympics. But either way, you know, there's a lot of countries that are out there that are really determined to not just sort of say, well, we're all playing for second place. I think there's a lot of countries that feel the gold medal is theirs. They're for the taking this year.
Yeah, I mean, between Serbia, Spain, France, Italy, like Italy is sneaky good. Everyone's like, oh, yeah, whatever. And then you're like, oh, wait, Bellinelli, Gallinari, a whole bunch of really good players. And then there's, I don't know, I'm just curious sort of looking at this Team USA sort of thing. We saw them, you know, the Thursday and Saturday night in Melbourne. And I think there's a lot of benefit for the players to be playing in this, right? Like, we get all that. We understand that players who actually play a part of the national Team USA team go on to usually have, like, really good seasons in the NBA after. And I fully assume, like, Donovan Mitchell and Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Miles Turner would be absolute monsters this year. But I think it's like you touched on something there about how they haven't really played in the national team or played in sort of teams together that much, which is pretty weird considering we always sort of hear that the NBA is too friendly now, thanks to AAU and stuff like that. And this is kind of like a weird sort of flip side of like, yeah, they may have played against each other a bunch and AAU might sort of foster this at least familiarity with all these other players, with all the young dudes, but it hasn't really engendered sort of like a cohesive idea of a Team USA kind of yet. But I guess this could be just that, you know, this is a very young team, right?
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, Jerry Colangelo, I think he's the outgoing managing director now. I think this is his last tournament as well. But I think he realized that he wanted to get a few of the younger guys in there, like Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, you know, who I think, and Donovan Mitchell is another one, you know, who could really be on this team for the next 4 to 6 years and as, you know, dominant players. And I think he likes to have those guys who are going to have a little bit more experience. But you're right. I mean, the US, the NBA, you know, everyone's friends with each other on social media and they know each other well, but they haven't necessarily played with each other. And certainly you just sort of feel like there's no question that the US, you know, they want to win, they want the gold medal, they want to, you know, maintain their dominance. But some of these other countries, you just feel there's a whole different level of passion behind what they do. And that's something that the US sort of just can't replicate because they have the biggest league in the world and they've been on top for so long, whereas some of these other countries are always trying to sort of stand up for themselves, if you know what I mean. So I just think that for guys, again, the younger guys like Brown and Tatum and Mitchell, I think this is an incredible experience and an opportunity for them. And I think it's only going to make them better because all these guys are out playing pickup ball during the summer anyway, or going to open gym runs. We saw Devin Booker, you know, the funny video of him complaining about being double teamed. Well, if you're a coach and you've got a guy like Devin Booker or a guy like Jason Tatum, where would you rather him be playing this summer? You know, these pickup runs that are, you know, just guys out there just playing for nothing or playing some real competitive basketball that's actually going to test you and you know, should mature you and grow you and develop your game. I mean, there's no question for me, I'd rather have the younger guys out there playing on the world stage, getting a little bit more life experience as well, and just being a part of, you know, part of Team USA, but trying to be something different, because I just think it is an experience that's going to help these guys. And sure, you know, we saw Jason Tatum pick up a bit of an ankle injury. It doesn't sound all that serious. He may miss a game or two perhaps, but that's all part of it as well. You know, you can get injured at any time. But I just think overall the benefits of playing for your country and representing your country far outweigh any possible negative return.
They far outweigh bitching and moaning about being double-teamed in a pickup game. So did you catch the Australia-Senegal game?
Oh, I only saw highlights of it this morning. I saw Joe Ingles nearly had the triple-double there. But again, I mean, Australia, we're at that point where we shouldn't be really bothered by these games early on. We should be able to win these comfortably. I mean, if you're a real medal contender, you should be able to go through fairly well. And, you know, so far, again, against Canada and Senegal, they haven't had too many problems. Although I think Canada led after the third quarter in the game before Australia put their foot down. So, you know, good test. But, again, if you are to be considered a genuine challenger, you know, you should be able to sort of get past these early preliminary games without too many problems.
Yeah, turnovers and rebounding seems to be a bit of a problem with Australia at the moment, where we were down against Senegal as well at times, and then also obviously down after three quarters against Canada. We're down a point, which is absolutely bananas. So looking at this sort of Australia roster and like how we're going so far, I mean, what do you like most about it? Just, you know, sort of from a meta point of view. I mean, I've gone on record and sort of yelled and bitched and moaned and screamed and cried about not having enough wing depth, and I think I've been proven pretty right so far, but you know, I'm not going to take a victory lap or anything just yet, because we're going to get out of the fucking group stages. But still, like, turnovers, rebounding, I mean, but still, at least, you know, Dally, Paddy, everyone seems to be playing at least pretty well. Like, no one's actually sort of shit at the moment, which is kind of good. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I mean, the thing is, I think you know, that's the thing with Australia. Dally had 24 in the first game, and then I think Paddy Mills was our top scorer against Senegal with 22, and Dally didn't score all that many at all, I don't think, in that second game.
He was a bit rough in game two.
Yeah, but you know what? That's fine. It's better, I think, to be in a situation where you don't have to have one guy going out there and scoring all the points for you all the time. I think that's it's good to show a little bit of balance and depth with our team, that more than one guy can, you know, can sort of go out there and get you 20, 25 points. Also, Andrew Bogut, I think there's something about Andrew Bogut when he puts on that Australian jersey. He just looks so much fresher, so much more spry, you know, so much more athletic. I obviously didn't see a whole lot of him when he was in the NBL this season. I know he won MVP, so he obviously had a good year. But I remember, you know, going back to Rio again in 2016, His ability to run that offense or facilitate on offense is incredible, really. You can give him the ball. He's got a decent handle. He knows how to make the right pass. You know, obviously, he's not a shooter. He can't shoot sort of from too far. But if he keeps the ball moving, and if he gets down to that low post area, he's got that little flip and that little hook shot. So, you know, he just he's the sort of player. And Aaron Baines is another one. You know, when those guys play for Australia, they just seem to grow an extra a bit, and they just play so much better, and they really use their body well, and they understand the FIBA game really well as well. So, you know, I think Australia, they've owned the problem was, we saw this against the US in game one of those two-game series. Australia has guys like Dally and Paddy who can go out and get your baskets, and Joe Ingles as well. But we don't necessarily have then guys 5, 6, and 7 who can get you 20 points. Yep. You've got guys like Chris Golding, who's a good shooter. He can get you a handful of points. You probably would like to see a little bit more out of him. Nick Kay, you know, same. But then you've got guys like Landale, who, you know, I thought Landale was very good in the first game, not as good against Senegal, but you don't want to have to rely on those guys getting you 15 or 20 points. But sometimes you need that. So, you know, Australia, if everyone plays well and everyone's committed like they have been so far, anything is possible. But at some point, I'm just not sure the depth we have can match up really with teams like the Serbias or the Spains out there, who just seem just a little bit deeper and a little bit stronger across the board.
Yeah, it's like one of those points that I keep bringing up, I think, after every game, where we've got enough talent to pretty much beat anybody on our day. But we don't have enough top-line talent to just cruise through and beat everybody if we're sleepwalking through games, etc. So, but anyway, Lee, I'm not going to keep you much longer. We do Yeah Nah here on NBA Australia. It's a hallowed tradition. And, I mean, you mentioned you've been out there decompressing. The start has finished at the end of the season. And I kind of feel like, you know, we missed a lot of starters' content about free agency in the off-season. It's pretty weird, not sort of getting it. And then the free agents pop up and everyone's like, yes, thank God for this. So just quickly, a couple of yeah nahs for you, Lee. I'll just ask the question, and all I need to know is yeah nah at the end of it. and then we can talk about it if you want. So how about Kawhi Leonard to the LA Clippers? Now, would it be fair to say this might have been your favorite and most heartbreaking off-season move? Yeah, nah.
Nah, not really. Once the Raptors won the championship, you can't ever change the fact the Raptors won. I was surprised he went there. To be honest, I thought once they had won it and the Raptors had made the strongest case to show that they'll do everything they can to keep him. Also, they could have given him an extra year of the contract to guarantee him to stay up there. So I thought the Raptors were going to keep him, but he chose to move on. It's like, you know what? If that's what you want, go for it, man. I mean, it's hard to really knock a guy who went there, gave everything he could. You know, he sat out 20 games, but it in the long run, the big picture is the Raptors got the championship, and nobody knows exactly what the right strategy is, whether or not you go after free agents, whether or not you build through the draft. Everyone's sort of gambling, thinking and hoping that they're going to be the ones next season that come away with the championship. And maybe they will, maybe they won't. But, you know, at the end of the day, Kawhi Leonard, he's now on his third team in three seasons. Guys tend to not want to be that way. You know, they like to sort of be a sort of one or two team guy for their career. He's done that now. And he's only signed, I think he only signed a 2-year contract with a 3rd-year option. So, you know, he's going to be looking at this situation. The Clippers have to impress him from the start. And he's keeping his options open. But I think, look, if you win a championship and he's the MVP, the ultimate challenge is then to go and repeat and to go and do it again. And, you know, no one can take away that first championship, but it's very rare that you get that position that you're in the first place, that you win and you have a chance to repeat with basically the exact same team. And I would have loved to have seen that. There's no doubt I would have preferred him to stay. But at the end of the day, it's like, you know what, if that's what you think is the best for you, then go for it, because the Clippers, until, you know, except for the last 5 years or so, have been a pretty much a joke of a franchise their entire existence. And so, you know, things have changed since Blake Griffin got there and Chris Paul and the new ownership, of course, with Steve Ballmer. So great. But, you know, Paul George has been a guy he's also shown he can be a fantastic player. But will it all come together? No one really knows. And that's the big question for Kawhi Leonard. It happened. It worked in Toronto. And he walked away from that to try to find it somewhere else. So if it works for him, good on him. If not, then it'll be that what if. You know, could he have gone back-to-back in Toronto? Now we'll never know the answer.
Yeah, it turns into a weird question of you give up a chance to be like an all-time team where you go, hey, we won back-to-back titles. Like, we still all remember and think very favorably of like the Bad Boy Pistons and like team, you know, even the Rockets in the mid-90s, you know, teams that go back-to-back. And then, or you can turn into like an odd, weird one-season anomaly like the 2011 Mavs or, you know, stuff like that. It's kind of weird how we're going to look back historically at this Raptors team. But anyway, next for you, Lee, Rusty and Harden. Russell Westbrook, James Harden will work in Houston and they'll push to the number one seed. Nah.
Well, listen, it's possible, yes, that they could get the number one seed, but come playoff time, I just don't think it's going to work. I mean, if you look at both of their careers in the last few years, I mean, Westbrook's been, he's averaged a triple-double for three straight seasons and he's won 4 playoff games. And James Harden has been runner-up MVP twice and MVP once. And he has blown it in the playoffs. I mean, there's no doubt that James Harden, something happens to him in the playoffs. And he needs, this year, he had a perfect opportunity, just like he had last season when the Warriors, when they were leading the Warriors, they're up 3-2. And obviously Chris Paul, the injury hurt, but he wasn't able to get his team over the line. And this year he got a chance and Kevin Durant was down. And he couldn't do it again, and that's the big thing to me. The worst thing that happened for James Harden this season was after Giannis won MVP and the Rockets tweeted out all that garbage about, you know, how they disagreed with the call, because that to me says, okay, so what are you playing for here? You're playing for MVP. You want James Harden to win the MVP. You should be more worried about what happens in the playoffs, you know. So I think Daryl Morey really, he didn't have many options as far as they clearly wanted to move on from Chris Paul. Well, no one really wanted that huge contract. The only way to get out of it was to take on an even bigger contract in Westbrook. So they've done that. Look, again, they'll win 55 games. The Rockets, they'll probably look great. but come playoff time, it's like, what's going to happen? Westbrook can't shoot, and James Harden just simply can't step up when it matters the most. So I don't see them as a legit contender in the West just because of what we've seen over the last couple of years. I'd love to be proven wrong. You know, it'd be great to see these guys get it together, but I just don't think it's going to happen at this stage of their career. I think Westbrook, that series against the Blazers last year, the Blazers just said, shoot all you want, and he did, and they lose in five games. So Westbrook is his own biggest enemy and his own biggest opponent right now.
Yeah, it's weird, and I'm excited to see it happen. I'm excited to see it, either flame out horribly or work really well. Final yeah-nah for you there, Lee. I don't know if I want to do a Ben Simmons one or an LA one, but I don't know. I'm sort of like, feel like now we're getting to this point where we might be underrating the Lakers. So here's a yeah-nah for you. No one will be surprised by literally anything I think that LeBron and AD do, considering how breathlessly they're always going to be covered. But they will be better than we expect this year. Yeah-nah.
Well, I don't think better, no. I think there's still a bit of a question mark there for Anthony Davis, for one, because, you know, he's shown, like, look, when LeBron came back last season after his injury, he looked like he just didn't quite have it. He didn't have the mojo, and because the Lakers were still in the playoff hunt, and then LeBron came back and he was like, he just didn't seem to quite get back into it. But that's okay. He's a four-time MVP and a three-time champ.
And he was busy on Space Jam 2 script revisions,
exactly.
And he was busy trademarking Taco Tuesday. So, you know, he had other things on his plate, Lee.
Yeah, and the thing is, you know, we know where LeBron's going, right? Hall of Famer, second greatest probably we've ever seen in the game. You know, no question about where he stands in the NBA world. Anthony Davis, though, I mean, he kind of just mailed it in last season when things weren't going his way. And he said, I want to go to the Lakers. And it's like, well, okay, you've now got your wish. He has to be, from the start, the guy that makes the Lakers a contender immediately. I think there's so much onus on him to really stand up and dominate at both ends of the floor, because he's a young guy and he hasn't got the credibility of LeBron. He hasn't got the sort of the wins and all that, what LeBron has achieved in credit for that right now. He needs to step up and be that guy. And I'm not sure if he is. I'm not sure. We'll find out. There's no doubt he's put up big numbers. You know, he's blocked a lot of shots and he's, you know, grabs rebounds and he scores points and he's extended his game. All great stats and all that. But he now has to go in and make a team a contender, because you can't look at LeBron at 34, who's going to be 35 in December, and still expect him to be the most dominant player on a team. It's got to be the 26 or 27-year-old guy who should be in his prime, and, you know, who was compared to Hakeem Olajuwon in his early couple of seasons because of the numbers he was putting up. So that's where I stand with Anthony Davis right now. It's kind of like, you know what, you have to go out and do it, man. There's no more talk. Yeah, prove it. Yeah. Prove that you're more than just a guy who gets the numbers, because what we're seeing right now is a guy with great stats, but nothing really to show for it in the win column.
Yeah. Also, I'm just kind of like, Anthony, just fucking suck it up and play center, would you? Jesus. I mean, it's going to be weird when Dwight Howard's out there standing next to Anthony Davis and AD's taller, you know? It's going to be weird. Nice one.
Yeah.
Anyway, last one for you, Lee. I mean, free agents, what's the plan? What's the deal? Like, what's going to happen? Do we know? Do we have any clarity? Everyone's obviously breathlessly waiting.
nothing yet. We've been talking to a few different places about some ideas and you know, hopefully we get something together soon. But it's fluid, I'll say that, as far as our conversations that we're having. We sort of haven't really found exactly anything yet to be able to sort of announce or to comment on. So hopefully we'll keep talking, and in the next couple of weeks things will come a little bit more clear. But obviously with things like the World Cup on, that sort of takes precedence. So some of the places we're talking to are covering that and looking at different ways of how they're going to approach next season. So hopefully we'll be up and running soon. But nothing to announce or anything like that just yet.
Yeah, well, it's crazy and it sucks that even from a fan's perspective, like I remember finding out the Starters was sort of ending its run with NBA and everything, and even old mate, the wife, she's like, what? That's ridiculous. And I mean, she doesn't give a shit about most of the things when it comes to NBA, yeah. But she was shattered to learn about you guys, you know, basically ending that run there. It was, you know, a real pain in the ass. And I can imagine for you guys, it would have sucked as well. So,
yeah, it did. But you know what? That's the way it goes. And it's fine. I mean, yeah, like I said, we're disappointed. We wanted to continue. But, you know, you got to, you just sort of pack up, move on to the next thing and hope to continue doing it. It was an incredible job. And, you know, we all learned, we all had a great time doing it. And, you know, the fact that we all want to stay together shows that, you know, we believe we have something pretty good there and hopefully it will continue.
Nice one. And NFL's about to start, Lee. Who's your team? Do you have an NFL team?
Not really. I mean, obviously, you know, the Falcons are the team down here, but they had that epic meltdown in the Super Bowl. So this is the thing, right? Epic meltdown in the Super Bowl where they should have beaten Tom Brady and the Patriots. Biggest deficit overcome in 20, the Super Bowl.
28-3, Lee. 28-3.
Yeah. And then I think it was, yeah. And then this season, the Super Bowl was here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it was a garbage. Oh, God. It was boring as anything.
Tough.
So it's like, I'm not, you know, there's been a couple of chances to really sort of get me on the NFL side. And then the other thing is, I look at Brady and you know, all respect to Dom Brady, who's still performing at 41 or 42, but I'm like, it's not good for the league that this guy is still winning Super Bowls. I mean, you know, imagine Dirk or Vince Carter was still the best player in the NBA, you know, like, or winning championships as the best player on the team. Like, that wouldn't be good for the league.
Yeah, it's weird. So, it's like if MJ like kept winning titles with like the Wizards at like 39 exactly. and 40 and stuff, it would have been like, all right, enough, old man, come on.
But it's also like that shouldn't be the way it is. I mean, you shouldn't be still good. Because, you know, it's like he's been playing now for what, 20 years or something.
Yep.
And these other guys come in for 2 years and they, you know, they smash their heads in and like then you never hear from them again. I'm like, oh, it doesn't. It's so heavily weighted behind the quarterback.
Yeah.
That you know, no one else really seems to matter. Everyone else seems to be interchangeable.
Yeah.
So yeah. Weird.
Have you actually been to a game there in Atlanta at Megatron's Butthole? That amazing amazing stadium.
Yeah. Well, I've been to some Atlanta United soccer games, nice. But not. I don't think I've been to a Falcons game. I went to a Bills game a long time ago.
Yeah. We so we managed to, we got to a Falcons New Orleans game actually last season,
right.
And it was absolutely fucking bonkers. So
yeah,
yeah. If I was in Atlanta, I'd be like, oh shit, is this how it usually is?
Yeah.
And then I went to a Patriots game the week after, and yeah, it was slightly different demographics, as you can imagine. And
yes.
But very, very fun. I mean, the Patriots didn't have fucking Evander Holyfield in 2 Chainz ringing bells or anything. So yeah, pretty
right.
cool stuff. Nice one. Anyway, Lee, I've taken way too much of your time. Thanks so much for coming back on NBA Australia. You are now officially a recurring guest. This was awesome. Thanks, man.
No worries, man. Thanks for having me.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Thank you to Lee Ellis once more, recurring guest, friend of the show. Lee Ellis, that was awesome. What a fun chat. Good to hear from the big fella. Can't wait to see what the free agents do next. It's going to be really, really fun. And no shit, when I told old mate that it's the starters have been cancelled by NBA TV and stuff, she's like, what the fuck? Like, that's like the only good, interesting NBA shit I can stand watching. And I'm like, fuck, all right. I better tell Lee that. So anyway, thanks to Lee. We'll be back, I think, on Friday. Wrapping up the Australia-Lithuania game on Thursday night. Might go to the pub and watch that somewhere. What do you reckon? Anyway, but we are all over Twitter, Facey, Instagram, during this World Cup and all that sort of stuff. We're all over the socials. You know that. Get around nbaustralia.com. Go there. And if you want to do some shopping, go click on the Amazon button and the big, you know, big Amazon button, bottom right-hand corner. Go do your shopping. They kick us a shekel or two on the back end. Come on, man. Help us out, would ya? Chuck us a rating and review on iTunes, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone. That really helps out. It really does. So get around it, would ya? Big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut album, Running Out of Time, is the best Australian album of the year. I fucking love that band and that album. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you heard throughout the show. Give them all a smash on Bandcamp and Facey. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, we're going to close out today's show with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams. It's been too long. The Big Kiwi is back. Excited. So, all right, we'll catch us on Friday, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, later, oh, son! Oh, Kia ora, Bruce. That's your pal, Stephen Adams, here, eh? Just checking in on yours with my off-season diary, eh, Sue? Here goes, eh? Oh, dear diary, it's me, Stephen Adams, bro. But you knew that anyway, eh, because you're my diary. And you know all my deep, dark secrets, eh? Oh, nah. We all know that the only secret I have is how much I love Chucky Bickies, bro. And that's not much of a secret, eh? I've actually got one tattooed on my arm, bro. Sue... Anyway, not much to catch you up on. Hey, I hung out on the beach in Mexico for a while, drinking Coronas and Tequila and margaritas with my new best friend, Hoosie. That was mental, bro. I even got to swim with the dolphins, bro, because they thought I was Aquaman, bro. I got to do it for free, eh? So that was sick as. Oh, and then I got back, and my friend Paul got traded away to the Clippers, and then my other friend, little Russ, he got traded to the Rockets, bro. So, everyone in UKC has been pretty chill about that, hey? So... No, seriously, everyone's really super relaxed about that, bro. I do wonder if that'll change when Chris gets here, though, bro. So who knows? Chris Paul, bro. He seems like a pretty chill bloke. So anyway, since I've been back, all I've done is work out and, you know, then work on perfecting my hungies, bro. So my friend Terrence, he's sick of eating them, bro. So I told him, Terrence, if you don't eat my hungies, bro, then we're not friends anymore, bro. And you know what that means, eh? And now he eats them up real quick. So, yeah. There's also this kid here named Shay Brew, so I wonder if he knows my mate from back home in NZ named Shay. Shay Lee Brew. I think you should know all the people with your name, hey? I know approximately 676 fellas named Stephen Brew, and even a few ladies, hey? It's a really nice thing to keep track of, hey? So, speaking of which, back in NZ, it's good to see NZ going okay at the World Cup, hey? So, best of luck, fellas, and go get them, brews. Okay. So that's it for this week, brew. I'll be back soon to check in with all my brews again, hey? See how we're all going. Okay, until then, bro. Kia ora. Love, Stephen Adams, bro.